Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
If aliens showed up on your doorstep tomorrow and they asked, give us something to drink, what alcoholic beverage would you give them? On the Fred Minnick Show, Vampire Diaries star Ian Somerhalder joins me to talk about aliens and what we would drink with them. We're also sipping some really rare bourbon from the 1940s. Tune in to however you get your podcast. Listen to this episode to hear the greatest celebrity palate I have ever tasted with, Ian Somerhalder. Here's a hint.
It's almost like oak that's been soaked in maple syrup.
Don't miss this episode. Download the Fred Minnick Show today. Cheers.
This show is brought to you by DR Power Equipment. All DR Power Equipment is on sale right now. So get over to godrpower.com and stock up for the outdoor season. DR Professional Power, done right. Well, in the first hour, we got Adam and Dax from formerly of TMZ. So we'll get into some celebrity culture stuff. Also, Trip Mickle's written a book on Steve Jobs and Apple, and we'll do all that. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Sam Morril and author Trip Mickle. With TMZ's Adam Glenn and Dax Holt filling in on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, with Gina out for reduction surgery, he'll have to make up for it with his big wits. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the choice. We got on mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Adam and Dax are sitting in the whole show. They'll be doing the news later on. Good day to you guys.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to try.
Hollywood Raw podcast is the name of the podcast these guys do. Dax, you remember from TMZ all those years. Adam, were you at TMZ as
I was,
well?
Yeah. But I was based in New York. I was running around the street with my camera in
New
York City.
That's right.
Yeah,
Or the early years of TMZ. So Dax was a fixture in studio for, seemed
12
like,
years.
12 years.
12 years, yeah.
That is a long run.
This was before it even became TMZ. That's how long I was there. But when it was like just a concept, a website that Harvey had like thought of, and they were trying to figure out a name for it, and then it all just kind of ballooned really fast.
I like Harvey. I've spoken to him off the air a few times. He seems like a genuine soul to me, but I don't know. You may have different thoughts.
No, I just saw him the other day. We have a really good relationship. No, he helped me launch my career. I've got no hard feelings. I mean, I would say he is a hard worker, and sometimes it's hard to be at that level with someone that is such a hard worker, but he literally taught me everything. And
explain your Harvey thing.
Yeah, let's hear it.
No,
Well, say the name twice.
Well, I think there's a... So I said it twice?
No. Explain how one would say it if they just said the name.
When you're interviewing an actor and you're like, what's it like to work with... I don't know. Give me a name, Brian.
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
Reeves. Okay, they'll go, oh, that guy. Oh, Keanu's great, man. I love that dude. I just texted him, and then they go...
What about Henry Winkler?
Henry, salt of the earth, man. I can't. I love that fucking guy.
Dave, what about Paul Giamatti?
You know, Paul's Paul. Paul does what, you know, he does what Paul does. You know?
So did I just give you a Harvey's Harvey? Is that what you're saying?
If you say the first name twice, that's code for actor not wanting to call a guy an asshole. But that's the code if you hear the name twice. Or if anyone ever says it about you. Mm-hmm. You know, Dax. He's
going to
do what Dax is
going
to do.
Dax.
No,
Harvey's, that's the thing. I always try to think of, like, he is the hardest worker known to man. He works harder than anyone else in Hollywood. So it's just hard to work at that level. But he, you know, he gave me my start, and I'm here because of Harvey Levin.
Well, I think with Harvey, and I've experienced this a little myself, which is you get his very old school work ethic. You know, he knows what he's done and what it takes and how he started and all that kind of shit. And then he sees the 22-year-old who he feels like this is the greatest opportunity ever because I wish someone had given me this when I was 22. Yeah. By the time I was 30, I'd be running this place. And then the 22-year-old doesn't want to come in on a Friday because they're taking a me day. And then he can't understand that, right? Yeah. Does that seem like kind of where the disconnect?
No, 100%. And I think that I even started out the company like that. Like, oh, look, I'm fresh-faced. I think I was like 21 or maybe even less when I like started into the company. And you're just like, oh, it's all given to me. I'm on TV. This is amazing. And he's looking at you like, the hell, dude? I've worked so hard for you to be on TV. And it took me years later to realize, like, when I started running my own company, there is a lot behind that. And I didn't appreciate it when I was younger.
Well, when it very first started, we were working with Teresa Strasser.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
TMZ stood for Teresa
was
Zero.
Over there.
Yeah, and she was sort of tapped to go in there, sort of an anchor and a more traditional.
Well, that started very different. We had, like, anchors.
She kept saying it would be like a Daily Show corresponding kind of thing.
And Ben Mankiewicz, who became like the Siskel and Ebert kind of guy.
Yeah.
Was also one of them.
And so it started sort of traditionally and then ended up in this sort of open forum, and which is very pleasing. I enjoy the show quite a bit, but why don't we film our breaks, not our breaks, but our pitch sessions. Might that, you know, it's like when I worked for Jimmy Kimmel in the writer's room, we all sat in the writer's room and then we tried to figure out jokes and stories and make each other laugh. And then at some point it got put into a teleprompter and Jimmy did it up on stage. But this is like somebody saying, but wouldn't it be funny if we just filmed this part of it? Like maybe we don't need that part of it. Yeah.
And that's legit what it was. We had those pitch meetings before we had cameras, and it was always like that, just coming up with whatever we thought was interesting the day before, and then someone kind of caught on to this is the show, not the rest of it. This is separates us from the Access Hollywoods and ETs and all of that, and it really caught on.
And also costs nothing to make.
Yes.
That's the most important part. Viable.
Yeah, right.
It's a cheap show. So you can film two of those, like if they do TMZ Live, I mean, that essentially costs nothing to make, which is the profit margins are amazing for it.
So you guys then broke off and now you're doing your own thing. And how would you describe that if TMZ is one thing and Access Hollywood's another?
So that's a good question. But I would say, you know, we broke off. We both left at different times. We actually weren't even really close when we worked at TMZ together. He was in New York. We just weren't really friends. And then afterwards, we were like, hey, let's do this podcast together. So it's Hollywood Raw, and it's all just about kind of pulling back that curtain on Hollywood. We talk about the relationships between celebrities and paparazzi and how it's a give-and-take relationship. A lot of these celebs don't like to acknowledge that they have relationships with celebrities and that they call the paps, and that benefits them. Everyone likes to kind of trash them publicly, but behind the scenes, it's a whole different ballgame. And so we kind of dive into that. We interview a lot of celebs, but we interview bodyguards. We interview kind of everyone to get both sides of celebrity as a whole.
And where are we at with it? If it was a I always think about the heavyweight division of boxing, and there was the great days with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and Joe Frazier and all that. And then in the 80s, it kind of flattened out a little, and then Tyson showed up and reinvigorated it. Where are we with gossip and celebrities? I mean, everyone's all over the Amber Heard trial, right? So there is a a desire for it. But are we saturated? Do people give a shit about celebrities anymore? Do they give a shit about celebrities but say they don't give a shit about celebrities anymore because that's now fashionable?
I don't know. I think we're like in this in-between thing. Right now, blind items just became really popular. There's sites like Dumois. Have you heard of Dumois?
No.
So Dumois is like this Instagram account that has blind items that come out all the time. So people have really got into it. And I remember like 10 years ago with Nick Ritchie. Do you remember Nick Ritchie at all?
No.
TheDirty.com?
TheDirty.com.
Oh, I look at Bring a Trailer for cars like all day and the occasional porn website.
Well, a blind item is basically I'm going to tell you the gossip about the person without their name and let you guess who the gossip is about.
But then the other question is who is a celebrity right now? Last night, the Met Gala was there. And from the people I know, who the photographers who covered the Met Gala, last night's Met Gala was very uneventful. The celebrity – there was no celebrity royalty there. There wasn't the J-Lo there. There wasn't the Angelina Jolie there. Who was there was – you know, someone who was on Gossip Girl or someone who's on this last season of Euphoria.
Big TikTok star.
Social media stars. So I think we're trying to figure out who's the new age of celebrities and is it ever going to be huge stars again? Like I still run around the streets doing celebrity interviews. You know, that's my day to day. I run around doing celebrity videos and I try to license them to different media outlets around the world. When I get a video of, let's just say, Mark Wahlberg, no one really cares that much, you know? Like the interest is not there. However, I get a video of Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, or if I get a video of some TikTok star, that's the video surprisingly, insanely does is the most successful for me.
Right. So basically Elon Musk is the biggest celebrity we have in Hollywood and beyond.
I'd say so.
That's kind of the
– most people care about what he's doing day to day.
New world order versus what it was several years
Interesting.
Ago.
Interesting. It's a bit of a throwback to the days of like William Randolph Hearst and Rockefeller.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah, the Howard Hughes is the ultimate example of like the Elon Musk of their day. You know what I mean? That went away for maybe a couple of decades.
Howard Hughes basically was Elon Musk and before
it's
he
true.
Was.
Extravagant, over the top.
Dating, you know, Hollywood, you know.
Yeah, I mean, glitterati. Howard Hughes was a sort of – analog version of the digital Elon Musk. You know, he was building things that were mechanical, you know, airplanes and spruce gooses, and started with the satellites and even the Hughes Corporation, a big satellite dish and all that kind of stuff, and dating the starlets and eccentric and, you know, doing his own thing and saying his own thing, but obviously pre-Twitter.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the stars are oversaturated at this point. Like we see between Twitter and Instagram and all the shows and all the websites, you kind of get bored with a lot of the celebs. Like how many times can we talk about Kim Kardashian on a daily basis before people are just over it? So I think with Elon, you only get so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, he puts on Twitter, but you don't see him out. And when he gives it up, that's when people go crazy for it.
I did a video the other day, Sunday. I was in New York because I'm based in New York City. It's Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos just walking out of a store in Soho. And he walks out with his girlfriend. Security is there. And he just walks. It's maybe 25 seconds. The video blew up. It got on TikTok. I mean, just got millions and millions of views. He didn't talk to me. I tried. I mean, I asked him a softball question. Unfortunately, he's not going to talk to me. If I knew he was going to talk to me, I would have messed with him probably a little bit more. But he came out and he just looks jacked. And people want to see like, hey, here's the richest man in the world. What does he do? Oh, he shops in Soho just like us.
Elon would say second richest man in the world.
You know,
yes. I mean, go back and forth. Yeah.
The ultimate softball question would be a question about softball, if you think about it. What do you think? I like to play when I can.
You like the high arc or you like the more
I'm an unlimited. I used to play the fast underhand pitch, but now I go unlimited arc.
Now, if you overrun second base, is that okay? You're trying to avoid injury or can you be tagged out?
No, if your foot's not on the base before the ball gets there. So, do we have the video?
It's not the best video, but
well, there's no celebrity that would ever there's no publicist that's ever warned their client not to talk about the game of softball, unless you, I don't know, you rape someone on the diamond or something. But that's probably pretty rare. Probably less than 20% of celebrities have been involved with that kind of scandal. This is Bezos.
Mr. Bezos, how you doing? Mr. Bezos, what's your favorite book ever? You could recommend one book. What would you suggest someone read? Have a good day, sir.
Nothing. Doesn't even look at you. Pulled the full Paris Hilton fake phone call on you right there.
I know. He's got an earbud. Come on. Well, is it better to have zero comment versus nothing burger? You know what I mean? God. Like, don't, he just walked by and went, Charlotte's Web. Well,
40 Shades of Grey.
got into the SUV and left. I think this is better.
Listen, my question, you know, I was trying to bait him essentially into asking a softball question. Here's something where if he answers, it could potentially help people. It's nothing, hey, where's my Amazon package? Some stupid question. It's it's to get him to get him to open up just a little bit. If I knew he was not going to talk to me, I would have asked him something probably just more fun, or just kind of asked him what kind of HGH he's on. But it's – no, that's a legend. But he does look ripped.
Who's giving you a hard time, and like, do you show up at the airport? And then who's giving you – or the most colorful?
So here's what I would say.
Who plays ball? Yeah.
90% of the people are very cool. You know, 5% aren't into it, which I respect. The other 5% are assholes. So let's go start with cool. The bigger the celebrity, the cooler they are. Oprah, awesome. Shaquille O'Neal, awesome.
Literally bigger they are.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. Brad Pitt, great guy. Like Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, nice guy. And then you start to get into different things where you get like Julia Stiles, something like that. Like, it's just like, really?
It's a
like,
random poll.
Yeah. Like really? You're going to be the rough one? Like, okay. Then you have like a Snooki. Like, really? You're going to be the difficult? Like, okay. Like, but yet again, I'm here because your team called me, you know?
Oh, so, really?
So, I mean, that happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Brad Pitt's team doesn't call you.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so naive.
So speaking of which, this is actually great. We have an opportunity to ask someone who knows, because we've long speculated on the show. How do they know when the celebrity's coming off the plane? Adam says, oh, they get the flight manifest. I thought maybe, oh, well, you know, someone at the gate agent's like, hey, you know, here for $50. I'll
so it's
you.
Both. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sometimes, perfect. You know, it's sometimes there's – if you fly private, it's public information. So if I know –
oh, really?
You know, Elon Musk had this problem recently, you know, where someone on Twitter was – saying where he's flying, say, hey, Elon's flying here. He's like, he knew his plane number, so he could track the plane to where it's really? Going, to what time it lands. So if you know the person's plane, if they fly private, you could track their plane. I mean, I don't want to give too many secrets because I don't promote this, but it's I don't really do this stuff, to be honest with you. This is just, but I know this it's happens. Done. So you could track when they fly private. When it comes to a lot of the airport stuff, you know, there is tipsters in the airlines who will let you know, like, hey, this person just came in, or this person has a booked flight.
Or if they're leaving New York and coming to LA, yeah, it's really easy to be like, they're on that flight, be on the other side when they land.
Exactly. And then other times where, you know, there's fans, you know, and the fans, what they'll do is they will call the airlines, and it's crazy. They just try to get that one person that's good on the phone and say, hey, my name is Vanessa Hudgens. Vanessa Hudgens, let's just say, for example. Oh, yeah, what's your address? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, can you tell me my flight for tomorrow? And then they get their freaking flyer number. And then if they get their freaking flyer number, they just keep punching in their freaking flyer number to see they could track their flights.
I didn't even know this guy.
Wow.
I'm learning right now.
And then the other part is they'll let you know when they're landing and stuff like that.
I'm basing it loosely on the handful of times I've flown into some city and there's been a guy waiting for me. But the guy waiting for me is not a TMZ guy. He's a fat guy in cargo shorts with a pile of
autograph
pictures.
Hound.
He doesn't even want my autograph. Yeah. Oh, he really? Wants my autograph on a still from Family Guy.
Yeah.
So they have all the pictures of all the different shows, and they just want you to sign it, and then they're going to put it up on eBay. And I always sign it because I'm like, all right, that's that guy's business. It seems kind of pathetic to me, but he knows I'm landing in St. Louis, and he's waiting there with all those. All
well,
those
I think
pictures.
There's an element too that we also kind of reveal on our podcast is like there's a lot of people that work for the celeb, so maybe the celeb themselves isn't calling to say, "Hey,
sure.
I'm going to be here." But there's stylists that dress them and want their outfit photographed to put in magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So you see Megan Fox walking down the street, and you're like, "Damn, she looks good." Well, she looks good because her stylist dressed her up, and now someone's tipped her off to what they're going to be walking and looking like. And the article also says every label of the clothing when you're like, did you read the tag or did someone tip you off to that?
Right. You couldn't have seen the tag.
Exactly. And then there's managers, agents. You know, there's so much involved in keeping these celebs relevant when they're not working on a project.
So there's a lot of pre-calls to you guys to try to keep them relevant.
Yeah. I enjoy it. Like, listen, I get it. I think I welcome it. It's part of the game. I mean, we don't work together, but we work together.
It's symbiotic.
Yeah.
So then the big question Brian and I always discuss, which is like the Kardashian porn tape.
Oh, yeah.
Does she put it out? Does it get leaked? Does it get leaked and then she profits?
that doesn't see the light of day if someone doesn't sign off on it. At the end of the day, it won't see the light if she doesn't sign off.
Now, what about like Pam and Tommy Lee? Was that just a different time?
And I want to say that that one, was that one on a website like
that was a different
sale?
Time.
That was
you
a
know,
different time,
That was
yeah.
what, 97 around?
Like Paris, roughly? Kim, those were up on websites being sold as DVDs or whatever. So a signature was required.
So Ray J owns it, or he films it and he owns it, but Kim's got a sign before it gets into the mainstream.
It's her likeness. You know, with a project, when people are making money on it, you have to sign off on the project, right? You, as yourself, are a brand. Someone can't just profit off of your brand, your name, your likeness.
Well, I guess somebody can take it, throw it up, and then you can get a cease and desist or something like that, right? And then get it taken down, but then people can bootleg
that,
it.
That
but
made a lot of money, for the people involved.
Certain parties.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of people may have even been kind of, I want to say, extorted into it, but they're like, it's going to come out. Do you want to make money off of it or not make money off of it? So I think there's that element as well, that they're almost forced into signing stuff.
There was some scuttlebutt about a part two that might be coming out that was in the news sort of coincidentally.
Oh, and their show happens to be launching on Hulu.
Shocker. Yeah.
Are we not past these bald face? I'm going to call them lies, but this is the okay, there's a movie coming out starring two hot people, and oh, they're in a relationship. Well, pictures of them on a date. Are we past that now, or are people still eating that up?
I think people like it.
I think it's a game.
Where's my fork?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I saw it. So this is a crazy story. So this guy, I can't say the celebrity's name, but this guy was dating this celebrity before she got famous, and he was dating her, and he just so happened to realize years later after she got famous that he had a video of her doing some stuff to herself that was pretty wild and involved her anus. And it was a wild video. it was a crazy video. So the guy approaches all the outlets and goes, hey man, I got this video, I want to sell it. All the outlets are like, listen, we appreciate you reaching out to us, but we can't put out the video because we'll get sued. Like however, the news story is, hey, there's a video out there for sale. Mm-hmm. And that they're like, hey, fuck you. We're going to run with this story. We're just going to – but we can't do anything with the video. What happened was the celebrity was dating a guy, sent a private investor to the guy's house and said, listen, here's a lot of money. Where's the video? End it now. Blah, blah, blah. Just shut up. And basically like strong-armed this guy into be like, nothing happened. And I mean – I saw the video, but you saw so much things that will never come to light.
There's a lot of content you just can't put out at the end of the day. You know, I've seen photos of celebs having sex on balconies, but you can't put that out. You know, there's got to be lines, and TMZ definitely had some really hard lines of what they would publish and what they wouldn't. You know, as much as people want to give Harvey a hard time, he does have his limits that he will not cross those bounds.
Well, also, like, you would always hear about the Inquirer, and you'd go, oh, that gossip rag. But they never really get sued successfully, or maybe occasionally. But what I mean is like, they vet their stuff. Like, they're not in the business of being put out of business with a lawsuit, right? I mean,
I think they've also come up with some really crazy headlines that people will be like, well, you didn't really believe that, did you? So I think they can follow into that. But they've also had a lot of huge stories that I never thought could possibly be true and that were real that went to the Inquirer.
Where are you guys at with the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing? How do you think that's going to play out?
I mean, it's been interesting to watch. I mean, it's the biggest soap opera on television right now. And I don't understand why he signed up to do this, because it has aired out so much dirty laundry between the two of them. I'm surprised. I think he got to the point he goes, she's already ruined my career, and I'm going to take her down with me, is really what I picture him saying at the end of the day.
It also kind of fucks up his narrative when he begins dating again or gets a new girl, because we all start with that, I like long walks on the beach and just drinking cocoa on Sunday mornings.
I like long walks on the beach and chicks that don't poop in the bed.
Yeah. I mean, you do get a little peek behind the curtain of what it'd be like to cohabitate with this dude. Is he married? Is he dating? Is he doing something now? And that would be the worst ever for that person, right? Because he's like, I got to go air my dirty laundry in front of 50 million people for the next 7 weeks. It's got to suck for the current? I don't know. Are each of them in current relationships?
I don't think so.
I know, you know, he's been – so the court case is going on in Virginia, and the hotel he's staying at – nobody knows where she's staying, which is sort of weird. He's staying at this one hotel. He's been going out at night. Like, he goes to dinner, and it's funny because you don't see any video or footage of him, like, going out to dinner, hanging out. The funniest part of, for me, for this whole story is, like, it's an – this is a public case, so the people in attendance are all like psycho Johnny Depp fans, like dressing up as Captain Sparrow in the crowd. They're getting there at 4 a.m.
Bringing alpacas because alpacas make him happy. Like, someone had an alpaca outside the courthouse.
Really?
I'm like, he's not going to see the alpaca. But, I mean, the legit fans there to support him.
I want all these people arrested. And I had it there. So my theory was always like, if you have enough time in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, to go down to the Virginia courthouse with an alpaca, I bet you're on disability, but you're able-bodied, and you can get a fucking job and pay some taxes. And I don't know what you guys think of this, but I don't mind the marches, you know, that are slated for Sunday, and that's the Million Woman March, or it's the Black Lives Matter March. But as it pertains to this Roe versus Wade thing, It hit last night, and this morning there are a whole bunch of people down at the Supreme Court. Yep. I want them all arrested. How can you do this on such short notice? What the fuck is going on? You find out at 8:30 at night on a Monday, and a Tuesday you're there? Where are your kids? What's going on? What about your gig?
Oh, I freaking know their kids
are. I think they're fucking – I think these are deadbeats. Look, if you want to plan the rally for the upcoming Sunday, knock yourself out. If you find out on a Monday night at 6 p.m. and at 8 a.m. the next day you're there and that's your entire day, then you owe the government money. There's something going on. You're not paying taxes. I'll bet you're on some form of unemployment, disability. Get a fucking gig. Plan the gig for the weekend, but not the next day. That's my take.
I agree with you.
And I have another controversial take.
Here we go.
Lot going on at the border these days. And a lot of folks crossing the border.
You guys hear about this?
I
haven't. No, I'm waiting.
A lot of border stuff going on these days. I think, like, when I leave the Staples Center, I see all the Mexican chicks selling hot dogs there.
Yeah.
I think a white guy needs to go down to the border and sell tacos. Now, I know we'd be upset. They'd be upset, but isn't turnabout fair play? Like, you guys are leaving. This is your food. I'm representing this culture. Why not?
Dude, there's clearly a market. Those people are starving.
You just walked across the Rio Grande. You didn't work up an appetite?
You held your baby aloft over your head.
Some guy just cutting up fruit for everyone. That'd be great.
The fruit cart might be tough because it's so hot. Tacos?
Yeah.
That'll last all day.
Fruit cart.
I do love that the average Los Angelino won't go into a restaurant with a C rating on the window, but will happily eat fruit off a cart in a park that somebody without gloves and just raw dog and a pineapple and a rusty machete. Yeah. Hey, get the kid one, too.
You described my wife the entirety of our dating. Yeah. The ghetto dogs after the USC game.
Right.
I'm not going in there. It's a B.
You know what I think it is? I think walking into the restaurant that has the B and you're going, I don't know. I'm not going into that place. You do that when you're sober on the way in.
Oh, 100%.
When you leave the Lakers game, you're buzzed off your ass.
And you smell bacon.
And you smell the bacon and the dog, and you go, fuck it.
You go for it.
You'd
this
be
is the time
there.
To risk my life.
It could slip out of the bun and roll on the concrete. You go, just kick it over this way.
Put it back on the griddle for 20 seconds.
No, it's actually spice. No. Pavement makes it better.
All right. Well, let's see. You guys want to hang out, of course. We got to talk to Trip Mickle, who's an author who's got a book coming out. And it's after Steve. It's the app, how Apple became the trillion-dollar company. I have lots of questions about Steve Jobs. And also, there's this whole new Apple story out there where their employees don't want to go back to work. I don't know if you guys heard anything about this.
But, I haven't heard that specifically, but that is amongst big companies, that's very, very, very common and getting more common every day. Like the CEOs obviously want them to come back to the office. They're paying the rent, whatever, and the office workers are like, oh, no, we'll be home 4 days a week.
Yeah, they're trying to get them back 1 to 3 days a week, and they're like, that's racist shit. We're not doing it. All right, so we'll get into that. First, I'll tell you about DR Power Equipment. Attention, weekend warriors. Tackle all your property care projects with DR Power Equipment. Go drpower.com. Your one-stop shop for brush mowers, chippers, shredders, leaf and lawn vacs, wood splitters, rototillers, and much, much more. And you can check out DR Power's full line of professional-grade gas-powered equipment, plus the latest lithium ion battery powered tools as well. Clear a field of overgrown brush, including 4 foot high field grass and saplings up to 3 inches thick, or you can trim, mow, and edge your suburban lot like a pro. All DR equipment is on sale right now. So get over to godrpower.com and stock up for your outdoor season. DR Professional Power. Done right. It is DR Power Equipment, and the battery stuff really works now. They got the technology figured out. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Trip Mickle, author, journalist, right after this.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
I am the Golden God.
If you said Almost Famous.
I am a Golden God.
Yeah! You're correct. Now, back to the show.
All right, we got Trip Mickle. He's a writer. He's a journalist. He's got a book out about Apple, and it's called After Steve, How Apple Became a Trillion-Dollar Company and Lost Its Soul. It's available now on Amazon and wherever you find finer books. It's the untold story inside of Apple after the passing of Steve Jobs. Good to see you, Trip.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
So I don't know a ton about Steve Jobs, but I do know that he was a Porsche fan, and I do...
Don't bury the lead, man.
I do own the one car that Apple sponsored in 1980, I believe, for a race season. So I don't know if that's chronicled in your book, but that's the only thing I know.
I didn't cover their race history, but I'm not surprised to hear you bring that up. I heard your segment on Laguna Seca not too long ago and really enjoyed that.
So what do we need to know about Tim Cook? And whenever I see Tim Cook, it's kind of weird. There's only a handful of guys who I think look like lesbians. And Tim Cook is right up there with Dick Vermeil. They just look like lesbians. I have no idea what their proclivities are. I just see Tim Cook and I think lesbian.
Well, you know, the book is really a character study of Tim Cook and Johnny Ive, who were the two lieutenants that that Steve Jobs had deputized to basically lead on the company after his death. And if you really get back and you think about Apple, like going back further than that, they nearly went bankrupt when Jobs returned, and these are the two men that really revived the company that Steve Jobs leaned on to, you know, in the case of Johnny Ive, to make those candy color computers that were such a rage in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then in the case of Tim Cook, he built out this supply chain in China. It's really why almost everything we have is made in China at this point, because Tim Cook was so skilled at efficiently manufacturing things there.
How smooth was the transition at the time? I mean, we're obviously unaware of it, but on the inside, was it was there some sort of problems, or was it relatively smooth?
Oh, it was rocky. It was bumpy. I think one of the things that was really interesting as I dove into reporting on this book, and the thing that we don't think about a lot is like grief inside the company, right? Like, you know, we all lose somebody, but to them, like Steve, working with Steve Jobs was what got them up in the morning. I mean, this guy was brilliant and exhilarating and exciting to be around. And then he's gone one day, and they, you know, for a lot of people there, they lost their reason for going into Apple, and they had to figure out like how to overcome that and honor Steve Jobs' legacy by making sure that Apple didn't go kaput right after his death.
You say in the title that the company lost its soul. What do you mean by that?
It's a reference to, on a literal level, to Johnny Ive. Steve Jobs considered him his creative partner, his creative soulmate, if you will. And Johnny Ive ultimately left the company in 2019. So he literally, the soul walked out of the building in some ways. But on a metaphorical level, like part of the reason that Johnny left was Apple was usually under Steve Jobs a place where art led to commerce. And increasingly under Tim Cook, it became a place where commerce dictated art. And by that, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, when Jobs was there, Johnny Ive can make decisions like, let's put a handle on this computer, even though we don't expect anybody to pick it up, because we want people to think that the computer is like something you can touch. And Jobs didn't bat an eye at this kind of insane cost. But under Tim Cook, increasingly, they were saying like, well, is it worth spending the money on a feature like that?
Did you hear about the hubbub about the Apple employees story, which came out a few days back?
Yeah. I followed the letter and have been keeping an eye on that. As you all were saying, it's like who really wants to go back to work anyway, unless you really like your colleagues and the water cooler.
No, I agree. Like nobody wants to go back to work, but there's a lot of plumbers and roofers and folks who work at restaurants and folks who stock shelves at the Trader Joe's who just go back to work because they're getting paid. And that's what the fuck you're supposed to do when you get paid.
right. Yeah.
And I also get that I don't know if all the dust is settled on productivity. People talk about being really productive, but I don't remember taking 18 minutes off to beat off when I was at work. I do have to carve that out of my homework day. So I don't know, but also just the fact that you build this crazy campus, like you have built
a sunk cost,
a cathedral to your profession, and people don't physically want to enter it.
But that's also the sunk cost fallacy, though, because yes, if you're a roofer or a plumber or you stock the shelves at Trader Joe's, you need to be there to do the job. However, my wife, who actually used to work for Media Arts Lab, Triple know what that is. Her company did like an internal like survey of like the last 2 years, and they're workers are much more productive at home than they are in the office. There's so many distractions in the office. Ironically, you'd think it'd be home, but it's actually the office that distracts.
It's funny you mentioned this about Apple, Adam, because like in a weird way, they're kind of both of those things. You have software engineers who can literally work anywhere. They can be in their car. They could be on a boat. They can type code from anywhere in the world. And then you have people who are building hardware, and there's a lot of machinery and equipment on campus that they need to go in for. And so in a weird way, the company itself is kind of divided on this. A lot of the people who raise those concerns are the kind of people that really don't have to be there. They're either in marketing or operations or software, and they can work from anywhere.
I would argue that big picture, as enticing as it sounds to stay home and work, I would argue big picture, it's probably not going to be good for a normal human being. Like there's a routine part of life.
The social interaction part is real. Like you got to be around people.
It's also the part where you're putting your jeans on and they're a little bit tight and you think, well, I shouldn't have that donut for breakfast. But if you're working in your bathrobe, there's a social part, but there's also just a sort of routine part that kind of keeps you in a sanity lane. And I don't know, if, you know, some people thrive, but Others
are disciplined people.
Others will do some day drinking. Chris, do you have that article, by
yeah,
the way?
I do. So this is in response to Apple planning to ease workers back into the office by the end of May with a flexible three-day-a-week work schedule. And so the group responded – the employees responded with this letter. Apple will likely always find people willing to work here, but our current policies requiring everyone to relocate to the office their team happens to be based in and being in the office at least three fixed days of the week will change the makeup of our workforce.
I like the concept of you thinking that going to work is you relocating to the place you work. When I worked at McDonald's when I was 16, I never thought, why do I have to relocate to this grill?
It will make Apple younger, whiter, more male-dominated, more neuronormative, more able-bodied. In short, it will lead to privileges deciding who can work for Apple, not who'd be the best fit.
I love that there's a
millennial.
There's
that
a racial
insane.
Component to everything. It's a neuronormal or something.
Neuronormative.
Is it like mental illness or people who are depressed?
So, like, if people think they're Napoleon, they're going to be excluded.
Seems so weird. You're just asking people to work. Like,
3 days a week.
This was not a conversation before COVID. Like, show up. That's it.
3 days a week. Take that, France. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
All right. Privileges like being born in the right place so you don't have to relocate, or being young enough to start a new life in a new city or country, or having a stay-at-home spouse who will move with you. And privileges like being born into a gender that society doesn't expect the majority of care work from. So it's easy to disappear into an office all day without doing your fair share of unpaid work in society. Or being rich enough to pay others to do your care work for you. Instead of throwing money at the problem and just increasing referral bonuses to replace those of our colleagues who left over the executive team's inflexibility, how about we create a work environment where everyone who wants to work at Apple is able to do so.
Well, who wants to work at – but that's the whole thing. He said at Apple means who wants to work at Apple, not for Apple. That's in your own charter. At Apple, dickweed. That means show the fuck up to Apple. And by the way, I'll bet you I've toured Pixar, and that's an insane campus. I will bet you – that there is one foosball table for every 26 employees at Apple. That's not a bad place to go in a fucking buffet.
I got to imagine, like, Apple's got, you know, one of the best, like a Google, they have, they provide you food probably, I'm assuming.
I've been to SpaceX.
No, they don't have a cafeteria with free food.
This isn't land of the spoiled quite like Google. I mean, Jobs actually always required everybody to pay for their meals on campus. In fact,
never mind, you lost me. I'm staying home.
He thought it was hilarious because he was getting paid a $1 salary, and so he loved to buy his own meal and buy a meal for employees because it was pulled right out of his paycheck. And he would look at people and be like, I have no idea who's paying for this, even though he kind of ran the company and he was only making a dollar at the time. So he thought that was kind of a hoot.
Why did he give
Corolla does the same thing.
Himself a dollar? Yeah. Who wants a Pollo Loco? Did he do that? I mean, obviously, it's symbolic. You know, it's like when the president or Trump goes, I'm going to be president. I'm not going to take the paycheck version of that.
Imagine as owner of the company, he had so many shares, he just paid him almost in perpetuity.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was primarily because he received this lavish share grant at the time of his return, and he didn't want to draw controversy and make his return about, you know, whether or not he was getting a salary versus whether or not he was there to really kind of revive Apple at the time. So,
I would argue, though, if I was that person and I wanted to make the symbolic gesture so as not to cause any controversy, because he's getting, you know, $27.2 million as a salary, and the guy in China is getting $14 a day. I wouldn't do $1 a day. That screams rich guy who's getting all kinds of stock tips and perks. I'd go like, I make $61,288 a year. Plus benefits. What do you make? I make $71,000. All right, so you buy the meal then. Yeah, you probably should have gotten more specific.
Tripp, I want to know, what do you think, where would Apple be today if Steve Jobs was still alive?
Where would they be?
Yeah, as a company, because I look at them and I already think they're successful. Would they be a whole nother level if Steve was still here?
It's funny, you know, you talk to people who worked with him and worked closely, and some of them think they'd be doing worse off. Financially speaking, right? If you look at Wall Street and kind of the New York Stock Exchange scoreboard, that they would be doing worse by that standard, that he would have bet the house on some product that either didn't pan out or, you know, was more popular than anything else that's ever been created. And by the way, the most popular product ever created was the iPhone. So if you lean into that school of thought, they wouldn't be a $2.5 trillion company like they are today. That's really the masterstroke that Tim Cook brought to the company, was the focus and discipline to kind of mine the iPhone for all it's been worth.
Is there a product that we're unaware of that's going to be the next iPhone? I know they come out with a tablet or an Apple Watch,
it's
or
all
something
versions of an iPhone
like that. But and we kind of go, the tablet maybe didn't really catch on because we had our phone and our computer or something. But is there something out there that you're aware of that we're going to find out in the next several years?
The most anticipated thing that they're working on is around the car, which they've been working on this car circa 2015, right? And they were supposed to release it in 2019, and they're still working on it. And they've had a lot of churn in the top ranks. And at this point, it's being forecast for around 2025. If they get there and they do it, it could be really fascinating. One of the more interesting things I learned in reporting on the book was that they changed fundamentally the construction industry and architecture when they built that giant $5 billion headquarters in Cupertino. They wanted this curved glass that had never been made before, and they had to get somebody to manufacture that. And the glass industry had never done that. They bankrolled it. They brought their engineering talent and their designers in to make sure it was made to spec. And if you talk to architects, they'll look at you and say, "Well, we can design buildings in different ways than we ever were able to do before." You spin that forward and say, "Well, what could they do for a car?" I don't know, but it's pretty fascinating that this company that makes the phone that you carry around in your pocket changed architecture. So you can only imagine what they could do in the auto landscape.
You know, one of the most enduring legacies of Apple is going to end up being, of course, the iPhone. You know, is going to be forever, or at least a hallmark of this era. Podcasts made for the iPod, which, by the way, I don't know how many years it's been since it was been produced. It is obsolete technology. It's not even produced anymore. It's just we still call this shit podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
It's baked into the name, even though it has nothing to do with the product.
Yeah.
Observation.
It's true. Right. I mean, I think there's lots of that kind of stuff. I don't know, cockpit in an airplane or something, although we changed it to flight deck because we didn't cockpit. Same sentence. But yeah, that it's interesting that instead of a sort of technological standpoint, you're talking about a sort of architectural standpoint. Like, what could Apple bring? Like, going, I don't know, way back, Kaiser, the big company that makes hospitals and does other, they were originally a shipbuilding company, and they made troop transports, and they made the Kaiser Liberty ships in World War II that brought all the troops over to Europe. And that's what Kaiser did. But when you have 10,000 employees, you have to have a hospital.
True.
Because these guys are welding and putting in big slabs of steel and going to war and all kinds of stuff. But you have, you know, I don't know, 25,000 employees building a Liberty ship, and there's plenty of tetanus floating around. And so they build a hospital. And the next thing you know, Kaiser's Kaiser Permanente, and that's all we remember of them. And maybe 200 years from now, Apple will be the people that invented or did something innovative in the modular home business, or everyone's living in an Apple modular building or some version of that, which I guess benefits us all and is good.
Right. And that's kind of the way they have to be thinking at this point, because they make so much money from the iPhone, and their business has gotten so big that they have to look at these giant industries that they've not penetrated. So they've looked at healthcare, they've looked at auto, they've looked at energy. I mean, these are all areas that they've explored because they've saturated the electronics industry and make most of the profits from that business already.
What is their market share for, like, phones, electronics, computers, things of that nature?
It's like 50% in the U.S., but at the same time, it's like 85-90% of profit.
Wow.
There's a huge imbalance between like the share of the phones that they have in the world and like how much profit they
they're still overpriced.
It makes sense that I hope can somebody come up, and I know Tesla has the kind of a Powerwall thing, but wouldn't it be nice if everyone had a sort of home power, at least collector generator Powerwall made by Apple that you could pull your Tesla or Apple car up to and charge and run your home and not deal with the rolling blackouts and the outages and the price and everything else? I mean, they got to be knocking on the door of something like that. Have you heard any scuttlebutt about that, Trip?
Nothing along those lines, but you know, the whole rolling outages just sounds like such a California phenomenon. I'm sure for other people, they're like, wait, you have those, you know?
So, yes, in 2022. It's nice. It's like we have, you know, we're looking for like an all-electric municipal car fleet, and we have rolling outages. It's like we have...
We're stuck.
We have the Apple iPhone 13, and we have human trafficking. It's like there's a lot of old and new that we have in our society. So... I'm very curious about this car. Like, I'm very curious about what they bring to this and what the price point is and how they, and it probably interacts, I'm sure, with every Apple, whatever.
Oh, yeah, but my CarPlay will stop working every half an hour, just like it does now.
Right. The battery dies after 2 years. You have to get a new one, upgrade.
There's got to be something. They can't just go, here's our version of a Tesla. Right. Like or a Chevy Volt or Bolt. It's just there's got to be some kind of real breakthrough that's going to get the consumer animated.
They arguably missed the window to say, here's our Tesla. And that was when they were first embarking on this project around 2015. And that was one of the visions internally that they had, was let's make a competitive product to Tesla. And let's dethrone Tesla before it really takes off, in the same way we knocked off Nokia in the smartphone business. On the other side of the equation, you had some other people internally who were real champions of the idea of, well, if we're going to go that far, we need full autonomy. We need essentially a chauffeur that will drive us around.
Siri.
And And so there was even this moment where Tim Cook, that's in the book, where Tim Cook and Johnny Ive show up to sit down in an imagined car and pretend that they're riding around while they field questions from an actor that's standing there with a sheet that is supposed to be Siri. And they're saying, Siri, what is that outside the window? And Siri would say back to them, oh, it's this restaurant or that restaurant. And so that's kind of where they were going with all of this. And then when you think about it even further, you could layer in, well, we'll have iPads in the back and you can watch your TV Plus show. So if you're a huge Slow Horses fan, you don't have to drive yourself to work. You can catch up on the latest episode. That's the futuristic vision of an Apple car.
I had a more sort of blue collar version of that when I used to work for Always Better Closets, which was we'd install closets, but I would always go to the back of the cube van and make a bed out of the furniture pads and sleep back there while the guys I worked with drove the van to wherever we were installing the closet. And I got to tell you, if you could sleep in your car on the way to work, that would be a goddamn game changer. I do not need to sleep on the way home.
Would you feel comfortable? Because I'll let my car drive me, even if it's just autopilot. It's scary sometimes, not feeling like you have the control.
Oh, you have the Tesla, right?
I got the Tesla. And sometimes it'll stop really quick or speed up really fast. And there's a different level, like you don't feel like you have control, and it's kind of freaky.
Hmm. Well, I would imagine that would be kind of – we would weed that out, maybe not with us, but our kids would probably
– Let them get behind the wheel. Their lives.
No, they're going to get in the back seat. Like I think this stuff that sounds crazy, like, you know, old grandma doesn't want to get in the airplane because it's just not natural to be at 30,000 feet going 500 miles an hour. I feel like future generations will be much more at ease with that. We're already at ease. We got onto Uber pretty fast.
Fuck yeah.
If you would have gotten hold of me, you know, 15 years ago and went, how about some Armenian guy pulls up in his Toyota Tercel and takes you to the party? I'd be like, who is this guy? What? Yeah, no, it's his car. No, I don't want to get into his car. What the fuck I know? I don't know if he got the brakes checked. It took us about 10 minutes ago. I'll fucking hop into anybody who pulls into any car. If the door swings open, I'll just climb into it and sit in the back seat. We got over that shit pretty fast.
Adopted it pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only thing I'd want in an Apple car, and this sounds weird, I mean, maybe you guys, I'm from New York, you guys being in California, I want, like, it's maybe easier for men, but, like, if I got to pee in traffic, like, some sort of thing that I could urinate in my car.
Listen, Apple
Gatorade bottles ain't going to
solve
that.
No, no, that's been solved by Snapple. It's got the wide mouth. It's a 16-ouncer. It's good going down.
I mean, it would be nice. LA traffic.
Yeah, I drink a lot of water, though. We need a bigger – Snapple's got to make bigger bottles. And
Apple, I'm reading here, just recruited a longtime Ford executive to help with the engineering with the goal of announcing in 2025, which, by the way, is close. Remember when 2025 sounded like,
Transformers will be living among us.
That's right. Trip, let me give the book a plug here. After Steve, How Apple Became a Trillion-Dollar Company and Lost Its Soul. It's available now on Amazon or wherever you find finer books, and you can shoot Trip a tweet at tripmickle.com. Oh, final thoughts. Any thoughts for anybody here about Elon Musk taking over Twitter, as I just read your handle?
Goodness. well, it's going to become a lot more lively place, I'm sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for that hot
take.
We'll clean that up in post.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I wasn't prepared to go, Elon. You know?
I know. That was a TMZ airport reporter just escaped. Thanks, Rip. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure. It's really nice to see you all.
All right. Let me tell you about bellywelly.com. Low FODMAP will be the next big diet thing in 2022. It's for anyone who's got gut symptoms, I should say, like a bloating or constipation or IBS, etc. You can try the first soft-baked low FODMAP brownies to start a gut-healthy breakfast routine. They've got probiotics to boost your gut health in a breakfast brownie. Instead of a pill, flavors. They got cinnamon swirl, they got birthday cake, they got blueberry muffin, fudge brownie, lemon and white chocolate, 3 grams of fiber. It's gluten-free, it's vegan, it's certified low FODMAP, and I'll tell you where you can get it. Belly Welly, that's two eyes in there, .com. Where you go. Use code ADAM25 to unlock the 25% discount. That is BELLIWELLI.com. Use the code ADAM25 and get the 25% off discount. All right. Sam Morrell is going to join us, comedian Sam Morrell, and we'll talk to him right after this.